5 UTC right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nessa sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the world of athletics. The Berlin Marathon on Sunday proved to be an extraordinary day for distance running when more than one expectation was overturned. Instead of Kenenisa Bekele producing another world record challenge, the Ethiopian was surprised by his countryman Guye Adola. Ethiopian joy was doubled when Gotitum Gabriel Selassie won the women's title in her debut at the distance. The energetic Andy Edwards witnessed the action at first hand in Berlin. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Prince. Surprise was the word of the day. Indeed, it was. In the build-up during the race week, there was apparently solid evidence to suggest that Kenenisa Bekele was in strong form. There were various quotes flying about the internet and the race hotel here that he was in excellent shape, perhaps on a par with his triumph of 2 years ago. He had, like so many, had to cope with the pandemic and lockdown, but the omens were apparently good. Kenenisa was just over 10 seconds adrift of the lead group, which went through halfway in 60 minutes 48, world record pace. Then things turned strange. The group appeared to lose focus as the heat and humidity increased to over 20 degrees centigrade. The pace flagged, allowing Kenenisa to regain the group and take the lead. Now the great man was going to stamp his authority on the race, albeit hopes of a world record were gone as the pace slackened. It turned out to be a competition, but one where the triple Olympic champion was found wanting. Guye Adola, his fellow Ethiopian, who had pressured Eliud Kipchoge here 4 years ago, emerged as the leader, only to find that his compatriot, Bethuel Yegon, had made a remarkable charge up the field to join him. Adola broke free with a little over 2 kilometres remaining. A hard-won victory in 2:05:45. Bethuel Yegon had the greatest race of his career so far to finish 30 seconds behind, and Kenenisa Bekele trailed home in 2:06:47. Kenenisa's explanation was that lack of training during the pandemic was the key. He'd suffered a COVID attack as well, and though he didn't mention it, his father had died during this time. He was adamant that his career was not over. It will be fascinating to see what he does in the New York Marathon only 40 days from now. We weren't finished with surprises either, since Gotitum Gebreselassie won the women's title on her marathon debut. She had a fast half marathon to her credit, but said she believed from the start she could win, and she did in an impressive 2:20:09. The pre-race favourite and fellow Ethiopian Hiwot Gebrekidan finished second, over a minute behind, and Helen Tola completed the Ethiopian clean sweep in third. With 25,000 participants, the Berlin Marathon became the biggest marathon to date since the pandemic began. It was an uplifting sign for the future and a reminder that this race can always provide surprises. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Berlin.
Andy also spoke with Bethuel Yegon, the surprise second-place finisher in the Berlin Marathon.
Bethuel, fantastic performance to finish second in Berlin today. Did you expect to do so well?
No, I was not expecting to do so, but...
You came through the field. It was really a surprise for us watching, suddenly, to see you alongside Adola. What did you feel at that moment?
I was happy when I see Bekele and Adola in front, coming near me, because I had good pacemakers. Yeah, they were, every time they used to ask me, how is the pace? I told them, it is okay, let us move. Yeah.
And before that, of course, you were moving past the great Kenenisa Bekele. So what were your impressions then? I mean, the weather was really hot, but you were somebody who had the beating of the weather.
No, the weather was good to me, because when I was in Siena, it was raining and the weather was tough. So I used to train in all weather, when it is sunny, when it is rainy. So I was prepared.
I'm sure you realise Berlin is one of the biggest marathons in the world, the best. You're now second, so you've gone from very good runner to a top name. Did you plan on coming back to Berlin?
Yes, I'm planning. After this Berlin, I'm going back to relax, and we will plan the next move with my coach.
Thank you very much, Bethwell.
Thank you.
The energetic Andy Edwards wasn't done yet. He caught up with former 5,000 and 10,000 meters world record holder Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele after the Berlin Marathon.
Kenenisa, we're talking on the day after the Berlin Marathon. Where do you go from here? I don't mean just in travel, but of course, short term, you're looking to New York Marathon. And we understand, a very disappointing day for you, given your wonderful career. What are your plans looking like now?
After this, I'm going to Netherlands and visit my management and check my body, you know, just my health. I have to double check, visiting hospital there, and then direct I go back to Ethiopia.
I've heard Jos Hermans say that he believes that you can run for quite a few years yet. You have the power, the talent, and indeed at the press conferences, I think you made that clear. Does what happened in Berlin change your mind, your plans about that, that you can run well for several years?
You mean next time or... yes, of course. This, you know, I at this moment, you know, I cannot decide. Organizer, you know, Berlin Marathon organizers can decide, but for me, if I'm in healthy and prepared, of course I like to run in Berlin. I want to really want to defend the world record.
And just in general, of course, you're 39 now. Would you imagine, foresee yourself 2-3 years further down the road, still be running at the top?
For sure, because I have an information from other athletes. Also, at this age, even inside 40, the beginning of, you know, 40, many athletes achieved, you know, good result. I knew, you know, marathon is not really too old in that age, so. All my speed was there, and you know, my power was there, but just I have to do hard work.
One last question. This is looking ahead. The Olympics in Paris, all being well, 2024, and we know that selection for the marathon in Ethiopia is not necessarily a simple affair, but if you were on form, would you want to be a contender for Olympic marathon in Paris in 2024?
Of course, for sure. For sure, I want to attend, but in the end, you know, of course, it's difficult, you know, to decide according to Ethiopian Federation. So I have only one country, you know, but there is no chance to choose. Maybe even if I want to go there, you know, I don't know their criteria, you know, again, so it's difficult.
Kenenisa, thank you very much for talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's the energetic Andy Edwards in an exclusive interview with former 5,000 and 10,000 meters world record holder Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele in Berlin. This is Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Former undisputed cruiserweight champion Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk stunned British boxer of Nigerian descent Anthony Joshua to become a two-weight world heavyweight title champion. It was a unanimous decision in the fight held at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday. The 34-year-old secured victory by the judges' score of 117 to 112, 116 to 112, and 115 to 113 to take the IBF, WBA and WBO titles from the British boxer, who had to withstand a series of late attacks in the 12th round. Usyk, whose record stands at 19-0 with 13 knockouts, is the only third boxer in history to win both the heavyweight and the cruiserweight world. He joins former American boxer Evander Holyfield and Britain's David Haye on that list. The Ukrainian follows in the footsteps of his countrymen Vitaly and Vladimir Klitschko, who dominated the heavyweight division from 2004 to 2015. After the bout, he said the fight went exactly the way he expected it to go. He went on to say that there were times Joshua pushed him hard, but that it wasn't too bad. He also said, and I quote, "I had no objective to knock him out. My corner pushed me not to do that. You didn't see the best, Usyk. I can be much better." End of quote. Joshua, whose record now stands at 24 wins with 22 knockouts, is expected to activate the rematch clause and fight Usyk again. Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Some Nigerian boxing analysts have been reacting to the defeat of British boxer Anthony Joshua, who's of Nigerian descent. John Senibo, alias the Big John, is a boxing analyst and a former heavyweight boxing champion from River State in southern Nigeria. He spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about Anthony Joshua's loss to Alexandra Usyk.
"A very big upset by Alexandra Usyk, the former cruiserweight champion of the world. Even though nobody gave him the fight, he showed class. This is the first time Anthony Joshua is fighting somebody in the age range of this guy, Alexandra Usyk. And of course, let's not forget, he's also an Olympic gold medalist. And he has shown what stuff is made of in the cruiserweight division of professional boxing. He has caused the upset and he beat Anthony Joshua silly. In fact, if not for the fact that the belt saved Anthony Joshua in round 12, he probably would have knocked out Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua was warned. He was going to face a very tough opponent. Anthony Joshua did not show us his A game. I don't know what is wrong with Anthony Joshua, but it seems very clear to me that every time Anthony Joshua is fighting renowned champions, for example, when he took on Vladimir Klitschko, he fought so very well. When he took on Alexander Povetkin, the Russian strongman, he fought very well. But when he took on Andrew Ruiz and now Alexander Usyk, the very people we refer to in boxing as probably underdogs, Anthony Joshua did not come with his A game at all. Nobody knew Anthony Joshua was going to fight like this. Honestly, it's a big dent on Anthony Joshua's professional boxing career."
What do you think went wrong with Joshua during the fight?
"One of the things that I believe went wrong with Anthony Joshua is losing weight. For God's sake, I don't know who advises Anthony Joshua to shed some weight that it was going to make him walk faster. Where did it get him now? He lost the fight. Take a look at Tyson Fury. Look at how bulky Tyson Fury is. But even with his weight, he's able to move and he's able to throw very quality heavy punches that when they land, you know a punch has touched you. I don't like the fact that Anthony Joshua shed so much weight in this fight. And now see the result. Anthony Joshua has lost to a better man. A better man has carried the day."
What next for Anthony Joshua? Do you think there will be a rematch?
I don't know if he'll be able to bounce back. What next is for Anthony Joshua is for him to go straight for a rematch and try to see if he can do exactly what he did against Andy Ruiz when he bounced back to retrieve his title. But one thing is for sure, for now, Anthony Joshua's professional boxing career has been dented. His rating has taken a nosedive right now. He will not gain the respect he has when he was holding these four belts. The world will now wait to see an undisputed heavyweight championship fight between Tyson Fury and whoever wins between him and Deontay Wilder.
There was boxing analyst and former heavyweight boxing champion of River State, Big John Senibo. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yo, Ofosu now joins us with a report on the appointment of Ghana's new national football coach, Milovan Rajevic. The Serbian returns after 11 years away and is looking to bring back the team's past form. Sporty greetings, yao.
Sporty greetings.
So the big announcement is done. Milovan Rajevic is back as Black Stars coach after leaving 11 years ago. Don't forget that he had huge success for the Black Stars and the various national teams that he managed around that time that he was there. He was appointed in 2008 and left in 2010. By the time he had left, the Black Stars were just a kick away from qualifying to the semi-final of the World Cup and also the reach an AFCON final and then a Chan final with the local Black Stars. Milovan Rajevic's salary is pegged at $30,000 and the president of the Ghana Football Association has called for support for the man.
To my colleagues in the media, let's support our own. Our own is our Black Stars. The Black Stars is our own. We are not perfect. You may not necessarily agree with some of our decisions, but believe in the leadership of your football. We may differ in how we navigate the plane to the right destination, to our destination, to our common destination. We may differ, but the end vision remains the same. Let's support our own.
Well, in football, second comings never augur well. And also for Milovan Rajevic, because his record after leaving Ghana doesn't speak too well of him. But the man believes that the second coming this time will be another perfect marriage like the one that ended in 2010.
Of course, last time when I was here, it was the similar situation. The qualification campaign was already started, and it was a big question whether Ghana can achieve qualification or not. Luckily for all of us, we all put our all efforts, and we had immense support from all sides, and we proved, the players and everybody proved, that it was quite achievable. And this is the same situation. We know that there is a big task ahead of us, but we are up to the task. We know what has to be done. And with all of your support, if we put our best effort, I think it's quite possible to achieve our target.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Thanks, yo. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Nigerians are the champions of the FIBA Women's AfroBasket Tournament after brushing Mali aside by 70-59 baskets at the finals match played in Yaounde, Cameroon. It was the third straight title for the Tigress, who've now qualified for the 2022 FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup Tournament in Sydney, Australia. They are the second team to have won three titles consecutively. Senegal is the other, having clinched three back-to-back titles from 1974 to 1981. The Tigress' center, Victoria McCauley, had 15 points. 2019 MVP Ezin Kalu registered 13 points. Adaura Elonu had 12 points. Ife Ibekwe fired in 13 points, 10 rebounds and 3 assists for Nigeria. For Mali, center Mariam Koulibaly scored 13 points and 9 rebounds, with Sika Kone registering 12 points with 11 rebounds. Host Cameroon came in third after cruising to a 53-49 victory against 11-time winner Senegal in the third-place playoffs.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka, and Emile Smith Rowe all recorded their names on the score sheet as Arsenal secured a 3-1 home victory to climb up to 10th in the Premier League standings. South Korean attacker Son Heung-min scored the consolation goal for Spurs, but it wasn't enough as the Gunners held on to a North London derby victory. Coach Mikel Arteta hailed the Gunners' victory.
Yeah, it was one of the nicest feelings I had, certainly in this stadium. Obviously, it was a big occasion for us, big game. To win it the way we did it, and to feel that connection with team and supporters, it made it really special. This is an Arsenal team that they has won a game today, and their manager, so a lot of things that he feels very related to. And I'm proud of the way we played, and even more proud that to be able to give something back to the fans, because they really stuck behind the team.
Everything has changed.
That's the beauty of this game and the danger of this game as well, that it changes so quickly, both ends, and you always have to be alert and try to seek for improvements and do better, which I believe that we can still do.
On the other hand, Spurs manager Nuno Espirito Santo blamed himself for Tottenham's loss.
It's not easy to expand, and so I'll just ask you a little bit of respect if I don't go too much onto it, but the game plan didn't work out because I'm very honest. So if the game plan didn't work out the way you wanted to work out, because you didn't decide it well. As I said, I will not judge my players here in front of you. I'll refuse to do that. Yeah, in the second half, but we've been in football too long to realize that the positives on the second half is when the game is almost lost. We thought that if we achieve a goal early in the second half, maybe we can react and go for it. It didn't happen, but all the positives are very fragile in terms of analysis that we should do.
In other fixtures, Gabriel Jesus scored the sole goal at Stamford Bridge to help Manchester City end Chelsea's unbeaten start of the season. Coach Pep Guardiola was excited about the win.
I cannot deny how proud we are. How proud we are to achieve that, to be close to Les McDowell, the previous manager, achieve this record, and yeah, try to do it more. And always for the benefit for the club, and do it here with the Champions League winners, and especially for the way we played, for the courage, the personality. We never lose since the day one we arrived here, because that doesn't mean win, that doesn't mean play good or bad, but the way we played in every single game, even in defeat, for the counter-attacks and pieces, for the bad performance, it's happened. But always we try for bad decisions for myself, because at the end I had to take a lot of decisions, but the way they respond, the players, that these 5 years we have been together, is make me so proud. That's why we have this record. I would say that Gabriel deserves the best. So it's a guy who runs for everyone, and every time I score a goal, I'm the happiest man, because he can play up front in three positions, and he did it really well, really, really well.
That's Manchester City coach Pep Guardiola on his team's performance against Chelsea. Egyptian talisman Mo Salah, Diogo Jota and Curtis Jones' goals also earned Liverpool a remarkable 3-3 draw against Brentford at the Brentford Community Stadium. Manchester United were the second team to lose the unbeaten start to the Premier League this weekend after suffering a shock 1-0 defeat in the hands of Aston Villa, thanks to Courtney Hulse's header in the 88th minute. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo failed to score for the first match since his return to Old Trafford from Juventus.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to the French League, Senegalese midfielder Idrissa Gueye and substitute Julian Draxler were both on target as Paris Saint-Germain overcame Montpellier 2-0. PSG maintains a perfect start to the season with 8 straight wins. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi did not feature in the match due to a knee injury and will also be doubtful for Tuesday's Champions League clash pitting the Parisians against Manchester City. Timothy Weah, the son of Liberian president and 1995 Ballon d'Or winner George Weah, set up Lille's first goal and also won a penalty for the second as defending champions Lille cruised to a 2-1 victory at Strasbourg. French footballer of Malian descent Ibrahima Sissoko scored the consolation goal for Strasbourg. Spanish striker of Guinea-Bissauan descent Ansu Fati returned to action after a 10-month injury layoff by scoring in stoppage time to ensure Barca cruised to a 3-0 win against Levante. The 18-year-old who now dons the number 10 jersey, previously worn by six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi, was met with loud cheers from the crowd and is seen as one of Barcelona's most promising stars and a potential replacement for Messi, who recently signed for Paris Saint-Germain. Memphis Depay and Luke de Jong also recorded their names on the score sheet to help Barca overcome a 3-0 demoralizing Champions League home loss to Bayern Munich 2 weeks ago. Barca are now 6th in the La Liga standings, 5 points adrift of league leaders Real Madrid, who saw their 5-match winning streak come to an end after earning a 0-0 draw at home against Villarreal. Atletico Madrid also secured a 1-0 win against Alaves.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
And in golf, Team USA clinched its third Ryder Cup win in the century on Sunday, playing at the Wesley Sands course in the central U.S. state of Wisconsin. The Americans handed Team Europe a 19-9 defeat, the biggest defeat in the history of the tournament. Associated Press correspondent Chuck Freeman reports.
The United States were never really threatened on the final day of the Ryder Cup, although Xander Schauffele lost the first match of the day, but then the Americans rolled off the next three. Schauffele was glad his teammates picked him up.
It feel good to look up and see a lot of red on the board, so this is probably the fastest I've ever personally gotten over a loss personally, and I can't thank my guys sitting around me enough to pull off his W.
Schauffele was one of 6 first-time Ryder Cup players on this young team. After Schauffele's loss, Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler, and Bryson DeChambeau all rattled off wins just prior to Colin Morikawa's tie with Victor Hovland. That got the Americans to the required 14.5 points to win back the Ryder Cup that they had lost in 2018. Chuck Freeman, Sheboygan.
Thanks, Chuck. And that wraps up the September 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nestor, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.